Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter, and thank you for joining us this morning on our celebration of Easter. I know this is a little bit different way of celebrating since we're not joined together in our church, but we can still rejoice in that Jesus Christ arose from the grave. And I want to talk today about a heavy subject. We're going to talk about the blood of Christ. And I want to say in advance, please forgive me and bear with me if I get a little bit emotional, because I feel this in my spirit very strongly. But sometimes when that happens, it comes out in liquid form out of my eyes. So bear with me if that happens. I appreciate it. The two most impactful elements of Jesus' death on the cross were his broken body and his spilled blood. And as you know, last week we partook of the communion elements during our worship service, and that is, of course, the cracker symbolizing the brokenness of his body and the juice symbolizing the spilled blood. I'm very aware that bodily suffering and blood are not pleasant topics to talk about. Most of us cringe at the sight of blood. Some people do even worse things than cringe at the sight of blood. And that's because it isn't supposed to be seen. It's supposed to remain on the inside of us, circulating life and oxygen to our bodies. So blood represents death when it's seen on the outside of the body. And it is not a pleasant thing. The Bible says, though, that life is in the blood. Christ's broken and torn body that he suffered on the cross of Calvary let his very lifeblood pour out of him. And the power in that divine blood cannot be compared to any other blood ever. And that blood and its power gives us access to God. Leviticus 17:11 says in the New Living Translation, "For the life of the body is in the blood, and I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, making you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for a life that makes purification possible." At creation, God breathed his own breath into man, and it gave spirit and physical life. We know that oxygen rides on the red blood cells in our body, and it brings oxygen to us. It gives us life. And if it were not for the blood of Christ, we would not have eternal life. There's a Welsh Christian man named William Rees. He wrote a beautiful song that became the anthem of the great Welsh revival in 1904. It is said that churches were packed and that they sang this song for hours. It's called "Here Is Love," and I'm going to read the words to you today. "Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy float a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. And heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. It's a beautiful depiction of God's love allowing his Son to take on the sin of the world, which he did not deserve, and kiss that world in love. When Jesus was on the cross, he spoke a few words. He said, "It is finished." And at the time he said it is finished, it caused some supernatural phenomena to happen on the earth. The accounts of these events are found in the book of Matthew, chapter 27. These events caused men who were standing nearby watching the crucifixion to smite their breasts and say, "Surely this was the Son of God." First, darkness preceded the death of Christ. The divine judgment of our sin was on Jesus, and this caused a darkness to cover the land as though it were night. Second, God tore the veil, or the curtain, in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies. The veil was woven in one piece, and it said that it measured 3.5 inches in thickness. And at Jesus' death, God himself tore the veil from top to bottom. The tearing of that veil gave us direct access to God. Hebrews 9 and 7 says that the high priest entered the Holy of Holies once per year, but not without blood of bulls and goats to sprinkle on the mercy seat for the atonement of sin. But Hebrews 9:12 says that neither by the blood of goats and bulls, but by his own blood, Jesus entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us, whether Jew or Gentile. Now everyone is on the same basis, all needing a Savior. There was an earthquake. Matthew 27:51 says that the shaking of the earth was so violent that it caused the rocks to split, just as they did on Mount Sinai when God spoke to Moses. God must have had something very important to say about the death of his own Son at Calvary. And lastly, the last phenomenon that occurred was the resurrection of the righteous dead. When Jesus said, "It is finished," the violent shaking opened the graves of the Old Testament saints, and the righteous dead were raised. They went to Jerusalem and were known and seen by all for 40 days before Jesus took them to heaven with him at the ascension. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, it talks about death and its sting. O death, where is the victory? Jesus was buried in the grave for 3 days, but death could not hold him. God raised him by the power of the Holy Spirit, thus proving that death was not the end for Jesus. And because of his resurrection, it is also not the end for us. For up from the grave he arose. 1 Peter 3:22 speaks of Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, and angels and authorities and powers are made subject to him. This past Wednesday, during the coronavirus press conference, I was so touched when our Vice President Pence referred to the hope of the resurrection spoken of in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. It says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And first the believers who have died will rise from their graves, and then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on this earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then will we be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another with these words. The resurrection was made possible only because there was a death. Had there been no death, there would not be the hope of resurrection. Paul said that if Christ had not been raised, our preaching and even our faith would be in vain. At this time, before I go on in the message, I want to share a song with you by internet, by YouTube. You can feel free to look this up on your device if you want to while we're playing it here. I feel that this song has a vital importance for America today. And before I come back and close in prayer, please be blessed by this beautiful young woman, Rachel Chapman, singing, "There Is a Blood."
That paid my debt.
I'm sure you can understand why I said that this was an important song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can heal America, both physically and spiritually? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, the atonement was for individuals, but it was also for the nations. John 11, 50 and 51 and 2, Caiaphas is talking, and he's the high priest, and he said, "You guys don't know what you're talking about. Consider that this man didn't die only for people, but he died for the nations. America needs a savior, but there's nothing but the blood of Jesus that can save America. Because the life for this nation is in his blood. And church, we cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It includes the good parts, the bad parts, and the ugly parts. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. The church must lift him up and proclaim his blood. Let's pray. Jesus, we lift you up today. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can stand and proclaim that we know the power of your blood and that we claim it for this nation. Lord, I plead the covering of your blood over our church, over our church families, and over this nation today. And Lord, I pray that America will turn our hearts back to you in repentance today. Lord, we've sinned greatly in shutting you out of our culture, of our schools, of our lives. We repent today, Lord, for the sin that we've allowed to take place among us without standing and saying, no, this goes against the very blood that Jesus shed for us. We repent today, Lord, and we pray that you would accept our repentance, because we know that revival always follows repentance, and America needs a revival today. We exalt the power of your precious blood over us, Lord. Cover us now, and thank you. We thank you today on this beautiful Easter celebration for the shed blood that you so lovingly gave to your church. For the whole world, for that matter. And we thank you, Lord, for the glorious hope of resurrection. For if you had not resurrected from the dead, then we would not have eternal life with you. Hebrews 9 and 14 says, how much more than the blood of bulls and goats, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serving the living God. Purge our conscience today, Lord, as a people and as a nation. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for being with us today.